Hi, I'm Roy Crown from Revelation Trust and welcome to Gospel Entrepreneurs. In this podcast, I'll be finding out what makes Christian entrepreneurs stand out wherever they find themselves. Today, I'm speaking to Dan Fryer, who leads Jubilee Church in Hull. He is passionate about seeing gospel entrepreneurs in his church be released to bring the kingdom wherever they find themselves in their day to day. Welcome, Dan.
Hi, Roy. Great to be with you.
And you live in Hull. Just give me a little bit of your background and what you do in Hull. That would be great.
Yeah, I've been in Hull for most of my life, arrived when I was a small child, and loved the city and have been involved in the church. The church has been established for 17 years, small group moved to the city. I've been there for 14 years, and for the last 9 of those have been on the leadership team of the church and recently took over leading the church. But so yeah, that's my world, and I've got a wife, 3 young children, and yeah, we're just enjoying ministry in Hull and got a real heart for the most marginalised in our city and a real passion for reaching them with the gospel.
So you're quite a young man to take over the leadership role. You obviously weren't doing that. You were an elder in the church, but you were quite an ambitious, driven character in the role that you were doing. Was it in the medical profession or something?
Yeah, so my dream was to work. Well, my dream was as a teenager was to, of course, be a professional footballer. And then I realised that I wasn't any good at football, so that wasn't going to happen. And so I was looking for other routes to get into professional sport. And so I trained the whole area of physiotherapy and worked for some rugby clubs and worked in the NHS dealing with cardiac rehab. So people who have had heart surgery and heart attacks, helping them recover. And so that was my world, and I had a real 5-10 year plan what it would look like to work in professional sport, to have my own practice, and that was going very nicely. And I grew up in the church. My dad was a Church of England vicar, since retired, and although he was he still is a great role model of mine, I never had any intention of going into church leadership. In fact, that was the one thing that I completely written off. And so, yeah, my career was going along very nicely. And then really just a conversation with the church leader at the time and just inviting me to step into something new. It led me to a number of months of really searching, what does God have in store for me? And really in that conversation with God, felt like he was inviting me to put the script that I'd written and my plans, and just to submit to his plans. And it's not always been easy, and there's been some days where I've wondered why I did that. But I honestly, I can say that following his plan never ever disappoints. He's faithful through all. And so yeah, I found myself working for the church, and then just before the pandemic, I took over leading the team from the leader who had founded the church back in 2006.
And obviously Hull's quite a difficult city, and you said you're concerned about the marginalized. How are you going to do that? Because that's where the entrepreneurial thing is part of your thinking, isn't it? But just give us a little bit of a framework of how that's come about then.
Yeah, so I had the privilege of serving with some incredible leaders, and that team was led from the beginning by a real pioneer, real foundations of just having a real heart for the poor, and quite ahead of the game in terms of social action. And so we were, a lot of this was us looking for opportunities of saying, where can we stand in the gap for those who are most marginalized? And so we, 10 years ago, bought a large, what was a Central Methodist Hall in the center of Hull, and really had conversations with people who were actually homeless and sleeping in our car park when we first bought the building, and really started to see, what are those needs? And they were saying, we get all day long, we've got nothing to do. Antisocial behavior, drugs, alcohol becomes part of our world. If you can provide us with some activities to do, that would really help us move forward in life. And so from that, we launched what we call Jubilee Life College, which was just providing daytime activities for the homeless. But that really expanded now to a point where social isolation, those with mental health issues, the long-term unemployed are coming in to access courses which help them make a positive impact on the local community, but also move them closer to the job market. In Hull, there is just a huge amount of unemployment and a huge amount of people who have just been written off, you know, assigned to a lifetime of taking benefits. A part of what we've got a real heart for is helping people realize that they've got potential. And in that, we get the opportunity to share the love of Jesus. We get a chance to invite them into church, but also we get the chance to show them what it means to be made in the image of God, what it means to have potential, and what it means to and actually to be given the tools to start to work their way out of the situation they're in. And that kind of runs alongside some of the more classic projects, you know, the food bank, the warm space we're in at the moment. We've got showers and laundry for the homeless. But really what we're trying to do is look at how the emergency crisis intervention is absolutely essential. And it's wonderful to see lots of churches doing that. But it's trying to get us into thinking about what does it look like for the next step to move people forward in life.
So you had these people sleeping in your car park. You recognized, hey, how do we serve them? So you saw the need. But that is very different to then moving them along to actually get employment. And that must have been some massive challenges in that space, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely, Roy. And this, often we can tell, you know, the website might tell the success stories, but we all know when you're working with a marginalized, there's also lots of stuff that's gone wrong. You know, we've attended far too many funerals of people who have been recovering from addiction and then have relapsed, and as you walk through the stages of life with people. But I think that's one of the main things is looking at actually how can we be present with them through all of this. But I think for us it was the realization that if we just continue to, you know, give out these food parcels, then the need is only increasing. I think especially the last few years, the need and the demand on services have increased an incredible amount. And at some point, we've got to go upstream. At some point, we've got to speak into the bigger systems. We've got to work with organizations, we've got to local councils, all of that. But also, we've got to equip people. And I think part of it was actually raising people's aspirations, especially those who were from marginalized backgrounds, often have been told all their life that they're useless, that they've not got worth. And when we first launched the project, someone suggested to me, at the end of the year, we should do a graduation ceremony where we've given them all certificates. And from my privileged background, I was, they're adults, who's going to want certificates? And I sat at the back of this graduation ceremony and watched as they brought their friends and family, and they were so over the moon. They were having photos of these certificates, and that realization that they'd never been told that they'd done anything well. And so for us saying, okay, well, what's the next step? And for us, it's always about, it's great having those, we want to have those long-term goals. We want to have really key objectives. This is where we want to move people to. But also my gift is around a real strategic gift of saying, okay, what are the steps that are going to get us there? Because I think sometimes we can have the really big goals, but if they're not drilled down to some really short-term objectives for people, the people will give up. I think they need to see those success stories, need to be encouraged regularly along the journey.
Yeah, you're a very strategic person, Dan, and you're responding to need. And it would be great to hear one of those stories of someone, I mean, the challenge is success. But also you've kind of launched Gospel Entrepreneurs because you recognize that some of these people have an entrepreneurial gift that needs to be released, Dan. So give us a story first of an individual, and then we'll move into how you're developing this going forward.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that come to mind. One is that when we first started launching projects, people are very suspicious of the church and their motives. You know, so I remember visiting local homeless organizations, hostels, and every door was closed. People did not want to work with us. And I think that's where you have to have a real certainty of what God's called you to, of saying, actually, are we going to keep pushing these doors? Because we didn't want to compete for participants. There's lots of competition around service users, but also around areas like funding. And like, we don't want to compete. We want to ask God to bring the people to us that he wants us to reach, and then trust that he's going to resource what he's called us to. Now to the point where we've got 20 odd referral organizations, and all the doors that were shut to me 10 years ago, they're now inundating us with referrals. And one of those people was just someone who came through our door, and some of the backgrounds that people come from are heartbreaking. But this particular guy had come from a really broken home, and he addicted to drugs from very early on in his life, and came through our door just incredibly broken, but found a community where he was accepted and welcomed, and creating a warm environment is, and a welcome environment is so key to that, but also a place where that he could see that actually these people really do care for me. And so we were able to walk through him, and this is a number of years. He would come through some of our courses, and now I think this morning he's on our reception desk serving people as they come in. And even and just seeing him grow has just been amazing. And he's got a real, real gifting. So we're trying to then get him into the rooms of other people and other leaders. And just because then he starts to realize this well, which maybe I previously closed off as there's no chance, this is not for me. And suddenly he starts to think, see himself, actually, I'm not only am I welcome to the table, I also have a voice at the table. And I think that's so key for those who have not had a voice for the majority of their lives.
That's brilliant and a great story. And there's no greater privilege in seeing someone's life turn around like that, and that God's given you a part in it. So tell us about the entrepreneurial thinking that you're now looking at across your church and other churches in the city.
Yes, I, as you say, my gift is a real around, I'm a strategic thinker, and I took over the church just a few weeks prior to the pandemic. Obviously, I'd never realised there was a pandemic, so I would have never said yes, but I took over the church then, and someone very early on brought a word they felt God had given them around settlers and pioneers, and said that the leader before me had been a pioneer, and I was a settler. And that when someone said that to me, I was a bit offended, because settlers sound so boring. And I just really, it was one of those where I really didn't want it to be from God, because I wanted to be the exciting pioneer. And then actually, as I started to reflect on it, realizing that actually what settlers do is they create settlements where people and where communities can thrive. Actually, I can give myself to that. And as the pandemic hit, you know, we were all doing our daily walk around the same area of the community. And I realized that although we were really doing a lot of great social action, and the church is a wonderful community of people, we were very building centric. It was a lot about what we were doing in our building. It was a lot about celebrating what God was doing in the social action, which is absolutely right. But I think what you celebrate shows what you value. And I think for us, we were celebrating the right things, but we may be a little bit unbalanced. And so I was realizing that maybe we were really good at gathering people, really good at doing stuff in the building, but neglecting and not making the most of the fact that our congregation every Sunday leaves our building and they go and bring the kingdom into their communities with their families, their neighbours, into their streets. Of course, it's about what we do as a church community, but actually, how do we release individuals to go and bring kingdom impact? And I think especially it felt like in that area for those who are in the business world, the gospel entrepreneurs, all those people, actually, we're very happy. They maybe had less potential to serve because they just didn't have as much time. We're very happy that they gave and want to keep that. Of course we do. But actually, for us, we were just then going, actually, maybe we're neglecting these people. Because when I read passages like Ephesians 4, where it talks about the gifts that God gives his church, they're for the equipping of the saints. And how much were we equipping these people to actually go out and be the church right through the week in the places they spend the majority of the time? And so that was really where I was thinking this through, trying to work out what this looks like and really having conversations with people. And then I happened to be at a church planning conference and saw the Gospel Entrepreneurs stand. I didn't actually go to it because I had a train to catch, but I, on the train on the way home, I looked at it and it was great because the series that was launched really articulated some of what I was feeling. And so that really helped us take the next step, because we really just explored, okay, what does it look like not only to equip people, but also then as we're part of a church planning movement and we want to see many churches in new communities, but also we've had to think through what does that look like to be sustainable. And so really looking at how do we equip those people in business? How does that relate to church? And so they're all the questions that we've been asking. I've not got any amazing answers at the moment because it feels like we're at the beginning of that journey. But it's a really exciting journey for us because I think what it does is it releases the church to be who the church is. And then it also helps us to use those gifts within the church to really pioneer some new ministry and hopefully in the years to come, new church plans, new worshiping communities as well.
Because you've started thinking about how we create businesses and what that looks like. And then I know you've also had the conversation is the full-time pastor role. You're kind of thinking is that a future role? Because you're a strategic thinker, Dan, and you're thinking, hey, maybe it's a bivocational. They're actually in business and leading a church. You're really pioneering. Now, I know you're a settler, it would appear, but you're thinking strategically about how you settle in those communities to do that.
Yeah, I think my disclaimer is I work full time for the church. I need to say that because we've planted two churches and we believe God's got more for us. But what we're finding is some of the communities we're working into, is there a need for someone full time when it's a new church plant? But also, is there opportunity to get people into the community, make contact and impact into areas that I wouldn't be able to as a church leader, but also then looking financially, how viable is it to send a church? And I think sometimes when we're establishing new ministries, financial viability, you know, becoming sustainable is almost the marker of if you're a real church or not. And we often talk about it in terms of giving and, you know, the offering on a Sunday. But when you work into a deprived community, that may be a very small amount. That doesn't mean that people are not generous. It's just there's a lot less to give. And so we're just looking at, okay, what does it look like if we're going to reach into new areas? Could we launch businesses? Could we launch some social action? Can we, a combination of them, so that we're really benefiting? We're benefiting the local community. The community is seeing the work that we're doing. And so, for example, centrally, that looks like we've got a great building. So we've got an events company. And we've got a catering enterprise, so they provide all our catering for our conferences. So we're trying that model, but looking at, okay, could we launch cafes into new areas? So community cafes, it's so that it's bringing in some income, but it's also been a benefit for the local community, and it's getting us established in the community, and it's giving us space that we can use then when we want to launch other activities. And so we're looking at that. But I think for me, yeah, that whole idea of releasing a full-time wage for a small church plant, there may be a time when that's needed, but I just think we've just got to rethink it, because I think that if we want to reach the nation with the gospel, then we've got to move away from, you know, let's send 30 people into an area with a load of resource and it'll be a success. Well, of course it will, because you've got, you know, in most cases, you've got 30 great people who are passionate about seeing that new area reached. But what does it look like to go in there for the and almost play the slow game of reaching the community, investing in the community, and raising up people from that community who then are able to serve in the church, who are able to lead the church. It's not just about what's going in and telling people what is needed. And so we're exploring that. And so at the moment, we just, you know, we've got a couple of businesses that are running, and we're hoping that in the years to come, we'll have many more, because as well, we see it as an opportunity to release employment opportunities as well. So it gives us a chance to those people that we're raising up in our social action. It almost comes full circle. We want to see them in the church. We want to see them employed, and that's the aim.
That's a great aim, and I'm biased, obviously. The Gospel Entrepreneur series, you've actually been running that, and you've just kind of, I don't know how you promoted it, but you just said to people in the church, if you think you've got an entrepreneurial gift, come on this series and let's release that gift within the church. So you've kind of recognized as a pastor, there are entrepreneurs in the church. I need to kind of release them. Now you could say, if you want to look at Ephesians, maybe their apostles would be a similar biblical word to that kind of person, although that's more church planting, but I think it has a similar spirit within it. You've kind of run the series and you've done it in a local church, a couple of expressions. Has that done the desired result in releasing something of that, Dan?
It's been a really great resource for us, because I think one of the things that, you know, initially I did what you said. I went out to people and said, this is the course we're running. And it's always interesting, because when you run those courses, the people you get, sometimes they surprise you. Okay, you see yourself in that role. Some people who maybe go, oh no, that's not me at all. I just went out to people and said, look, this is what I would like to do. Really pushing it back to them. How often do you want to run it? And so we, just because I didn't want to put on, sometimes, you know, I sit there and you come with these ideas and no one's interested. And so for me, listening is so important, because especially when we're talking about these gospel entrepreneurs, they're often the busiest people in church life. So what we found was that, you know, people were saying, you know, every couple of weeks we want to meet. So we did one at a lunchtime in our building, and then I did one online in an evening. And it was just great. We drew different people in. And I think the first value that it came from was that they felt that we recognize that. I think that's really important, because sometimes they can be on the fringes of church. How do we connect in? What does it look like? I don't quite feel, I maybe not got all the time to go and serve in the soup kitchen or the food bank or serve, because I've got a more than full-time job. And so for them, that feeling of being valued. And suddenly for some people, they were sat there going, actually, I feel like God is speaking to me about more. And maybe I've just become quite narrow focused in my view of what it looks like to bring the kingdom. And even just that reminder of you are bringing the kingdom in those places was so helpful, because, and then it explored some of those things like, what does integrity look like? What does generosity look like? What does it look like to lead with vision, and all those really practical things. And one of the great things about for me was that they're quite short, the videos, which gives plenty of time to discuss. So there's some really great content, condensed content, which means that then lots of discussion, but also I found people were connecting with one another, started to step into each other's world. And so we could start having conversations about, okay, how do we support you? How do we equip you? But also how do we make sure that we're celebrating what God's doing during the week? So when we gather on a Sunday, we're not just celebrating about the social action project, we're celebrating and we're praying for the local businesses, we're praying for those who are self-employed, we're praying for those who are going into these different areas. It suddenly helps them see, oh, I'm supported by my church. And then we get to have those great discussions about, you know, could the world that you're involved in, what is it like to bring the kingdom? Is there opportunities that we can find where we can release employment? Is there, you know, how can you make more money so you can resource more stuff, and all those really exciting stuff. But, you know, I'm looking at it going, you maybe got this vision which is maybe even too small. And as we're together, I just felt faith was rising in the room of going, people's going, actually, maybe I've just got, my eyes have been down for too long, and just starting to lift people's gaze to, could God be calling us into more for this next season? And I think helping them see, you know, I said earlier that we're part of a church planting movement. And so there's a lot of talk about sending. And sometimes we talk about sending, people just see it as, that means leading to go to another church in a new city and start something new, and helping them see that actually our sending capacity is not just about church planning. It's about what we do on a Sunday at the end of every service. And we've got and seeing that actually we're releasing you into it, into the plans and purposes God has got for you. And I think for me, that's really exciting. And so now we're just at that point where we did it with a small group in the church, but look, okay, what's that look like? Is there opportunities? You know, we're talking about running it again with some different people, opening up to some other churches and saying, come on this journey with us. And because there's lots more people in our city who are gospel entrepreneurs, but also looking at how do we pray regularly? How do we tell stories? How do we celebrate what God's doing? Could we be putting on prayer breakfast? And really looking at how even my time, I've been considering, how do I spend my time? And maybe I need to make myself more available just to be going and meeting people on their lunch breaks and spending time pastoring them and encouraging them. And so it has really helped move us forward. And I think we're going to see the fruit of it in the months and years to come. And so I'm really excited.
And amazingly about Hull is it kind of sits out there on its own, isn't it? So you could really, hasn't it got its own phone system as well or something that's unique to Hull? And you're really saying, how could we impact this area in a defined space? And if you're going to do that, you've got to impact business, you've got to impact socially, and you've got to impact in community. And those things are all interconnected, whereas the church tends to divide those, which is what you're saying. You're actually integrating the whole thing. If pastors are listening to this podcast today and they're hearing you, Dan, we'll get the church and where you're linked if they want to connect with you. But what would you say to them as we kind of draw things to a bit of a conclusion here, Dan?
What I would say is that there is a great opportunity here. I think that there are people who have wonderful gifts, and they are asking, in your churches, they're asking that question of, how do I outwork the talent, the gift, the resource that God has given me for kingdom benefit? And that should be outworked within the local church, within a community, a supportive, prayerful community. So, and I think that, because if they don't find that in the church, then my concern is sometimes they they just end up becoming disheartened or feeling quite alone in it. And especially, you know, you talk to Ephesians 4 and the apostles, it's like some of these people are breaking new ground. And therefore, what they need is then they need the church to be behind them to step into the new ground that they're stepping into. And I think sort of sometimes we can think, well, as a church, well, what are the opportunities that God is giving us? And we look at it maybe in our leadership teams, maybe on our staff teams, when actually the opportunities God could be giving us is into new communities, which some of these gospel entrepreneurs are pioneering into. So there's, you know, especially some of the coastal towns near us, looking at that and saying there's a real opportunity. And I don't think it's going to be the initial us launching a church community. I think it's probably going to be some of these gospel entrepreneurs going in and launching new businesses, creating Christian presence, kingdom impact, and causing people to ask questions, causing people to realize these are good people who are here for the blessing of our town. And then for us, I want to be involved in those conversations because I want to support them. But also, when the time is right, I want to fund some churches and I want to see some new people reach for the gospel. And so I think sometimes you've just got to rethink, especially these pioneering gifts. We've got to give people real permission of saying, breaking new ground, we are with you. And I think so, if for church leaders listening, I'd say, start to explore it. See what God does. Our story is one of just saying yes to God, making the most of some of the opportunities he's given us, looking at what's in front of us. And he's been so faithful to us. There's been some real challenges, but I think he's been so faithful in the way that we've seen him come through. What he's doing in our city is incredible, and it's a privilege to be part of his journey. And I feel we've made, you know, some of this stuff that we're exploring now, they're new opportunities, and they're new mission fields for us that we've not reached before. And I'm believing that God is going to do some wonderful things.
Dan, it's so exciting. You're a can-do type of person. You're in a difficult environment, many marginalized, deprived, but you're kind of bringing a different spirit to that, which is amazing and exciting to see what will be done across Hull. The new businesses you're starting, even out of the building that you're doing. Dan, just give us the church, give us the connection. If people want to connect with you or they just want to find out maybe some of the things you're doing, they might be able to learn from. It's been great to talk to you. Thanks so much. And I pray that Hull will see a real difference over the next 5 or 10 years.
Yes, thanks, Roy. It's been great to speak to you. The church is Jubilee Church Hull. And so I am pretty awful on social media, but our website has loads of information, and that's where you get really happy to people to get in touch with me, and would really like to connect with people. So that's notdull.org. So notdull.org. That's because it's never dull in Hull. That's the reason. So we're believing that that's going to be the truth in many years to come in this city.
Brilliant, Dan. Thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate you giving your time. And I really appreciate you and what you're seeking to do in that great city.
Thanks for having me, Roy. Great to speak to you.
Thank you, Dan, for joining me today. I love Dan's passion and drive and his strategic thinking for the whole city. It's been great to see the way Jubilee Church are really taking the values of the kingdom and presenting them in business, social enterprise, and church planting. Thank you for listening today. If you enjoyed this series, make sure you leave a rating and review for the podcast if you can. Gospel Entrepreneurs is a UCB podcast in partnership with the Revelation Trust.